Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Method for Matrimony by Anne Malcolm. Narrated by Valerie Starr. Chapter 1. The Proposal. Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? Not a question I thought I'd ever be asked again in my lifetime. In fact, when I'd come to this country, I'd made very specific promises to myself about marriage, about belonging to a man in any way. Namely, that I'd never belong to a man again. But the problem was, I was fucking terrible at keeping promises to myself. "I do," I said through gritted teeth, not slurring my words, which in and of itself was pretty fucking impressive, considering how drunk I was. Not drunk enough, it seemed. "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?" Ocean blue eyes bored into mine. They were hard, angry, almost communicating that he was doing this, standing here against his will. Except he'd gone into this with his full faculties, and this whole thing was his idea. "I do," he ground out. The two words sounded like they were painful, like someone was holding a gun to his head. "I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride." Fuck. I'd known this part was coming. Which was, in part, why I was so close to being wasted. That and the whole being married thing, we had to do it. The whole point of the wedding was to make it believable. I feared we hadn't been doing so well up until this point. I'd stumbled down the aisle. Kip glowered the entire time, and both of us were standing as far away from each other as we could. Like we were afraid the other was contagious. We'd agreed ahead of time that the kiss had to happen. But now that it was right here, I couldn't make myself move. The man across from me, my husband, looked like he was glued to the spot. There was a tense moment. Fuck, it was going to be over before it started. That was okay, wasn't it? This was a ridiculous idea in the first place. Could we still pull off the whole being in love thing without the kiss? I could say I had a cold sore, or that he didn't like PDA. But before I could blurt out something of the like, he kissed me, grabbed me by the back of the neck, and laid one on me. This was not a chaste peck on the lips to satisfy our tiny audience. No, this was a kiss with tongue. A lot of it. I was so shocked that I responded. I went into auto-kiss mode. That had to be it. There would be no other reason why I would essentially make out with the man I kind of hated, who I'd just married. And my body's response? The heat in every inch of my skin? My thighs clenching together with need? Yeah, that had to be the booze. And the fact that I hadn't gotten laid in 3 months. It couldn't be because I was attracted to my new husband. No. How in the fuck did this happen again? 4 years earlier. When I first met Kip Goodman, it wasn't exactly hate at first sight, but it was close. When I first met Kip, he walked in with Rowan, who was tall, muscled, dark-haired, and wore broody like it was embedded into his skin. He walked around with a grimace, like he had the world on his shoulders, and would literally growl at someone if they looked at him wrong. Kip sauntered in beside him with an easy smile, straight white teeth, tanned skin, and dirty blonde hair escaping from his baseball cap.
"Well, I know that this is going to be my new favorite bakery,"
Kip said when he made it to the counter. He rested his elbows on the pink surface, his sinewy forearms on display with his flannel shirt rolled up to his elbows. His azure gaze went lazily up and down my body as he shamelessly checked me out.
"What's your name, darling?"
he asked when he finally made it to my eyes, which were narrowed at him. "Well, it's certainly not darling," I responded, imitating his accent on the last word, my tone sharp and aggressive. His eyes flared and his smile widened at my response, not put off in the slightest.
"Ah, an accent. Australian, if I'm not mistaken. I've never had an Australian before."
I scowled at him, at his words and the easy, confident way in which he delivered them. "You certainly won't be having this one," I replied, voice tight and hackles up. He thrummed the counter with his fingers. They were long, slender, yet manly.
"I wouldn't sound so sure," he murmured. "I'm going to grow on you."
I tilted my head as I ran my eyes purposefully up and down his body in the same manner he had to me. He was tall, wearing faded jeans that were stained with paint, work boots, and a tee underneath a red flannel. He was wearing a worn baseball cap. His angular jaw was covered in a light dusting of stubble, only a shade darker than his dirty blonde hair. Objectively attractive. If he weren't quite obviously a massive douchebag. "I doubt that," I replied. Then I purposefully turned my attention to the person beside him, essentially dismissing Kip. The person beside him just happened to be Rowan Derrick, his business partner and best friend. I was attracted to Rowan first. In fact, I'd all but ignored Kip and his shameless attempts at flirting with me every time they came in, which was often. I'd been flirting with Rowan. Not quite shamelessly, but I'd gotten a little more aggressive when Rowan didn't respond to my normal efforts. Not that I'd needed to make an effort normally. I was blonde, had an unoffensive face, great tits, and an accent. Men usually came easily to me. Rowan did not. He did not give any kind of inclination that he found me attractive. He was polite, spoke in as few words as possible, and kept his gaze at my eye level at all times. Not even one glance down to the chest area, and I had been wearing some pretty chest-exposing outfits. It was not until later that I understood that my best friend and boss, Nora, was into him. In a big way. Then I backed the fuck off, even though she was engaged to a complete asshole at the time. Though I didn't say it out loud that I thought her fiancé was a complete asshole. Not until she called off the wedding, at least, and then tumbled headfirst into a relationship with Rowan. I was very happy with those turn of events, to put it lightly. Any attraction I'd had to him went up in smoke. It was all superficial anyway. I didn't do deep, didn't do relationships, and I certainly didn't do love. Though I liked watching my bestie fall in love. Unfortunately, Kip was also watching his best friend fall in love, which meant he was around me, often. And since I was no longer flirting with Rowan, I was subjected to Kip's continual efforts to get into my pants. He was somewhat notorious in Jupiter. Ever since him and Rowan arrived, started Derrick and Goodman Construction, they caused a stir. Women and men all over town suddenly had remodeling jobs that just had to be done. Rowan, as I understood, was not a monk by any means, but he was somewhat discreet with his dalliances. Kip was not. He fucked around. A lot. Not that I was judging, exactly. I fucked around a lot too. So my dislike of him for simply being a man whore was the pot calling the kettle a slut. Still, something about him rubbed me the wrong way. And also, something about him rubbed me the right way. which pissed me off. I did not want to be another notch on his bedpost. I wanted him to be a notch on mine. Therefore, I decided I was never, ever going to fuck him. Especially when our friends got involved. We'd been at Nora's house one night, at yet another dinner party with the four of us, a blatantly obvious attempt to create some kind of weird couple group. Nora and Rowan were huddled in the kitchen, him likely whispering sweet nothings in her ear. That meant I was alone with Kip, or would have been had I not bolted to the bathroom the second our foursome became a twosome. Except who was standing right outside the bathroom door, leaning against the wall, bottle of beer dangling between his fingers? Fucking Kip. It's creepy to wait outside bathrooms for women, I snapped at him. I intended on walking around him, back to the living room and to my drink. Or maybe finding a blunt object. But Kip pushed deftly off the wall, right in my path. You know, now that Rowan and Nora are fucking. Kip stepped forward to twirl a strand of my hair around his finger. He smelled of wood, of dirt, of man. It was not attractive. Okay, it was a little attractive. Or it would have been, had the scent been coming from anyone but Kip. Kip, who was getting in my face with those sparkling blue eyes of his, that cocky grin and overall arrogant demeanor. I restrained the urge to knee him in the balls, just barely. Instead, I painted on a sensual smile and fluttered my eyelashes. So we should fuck? I finished his sentence. Took the words right out of my mouth. He drawled, mouth in question, lingering closer. We will fuck, I murmured, lips almost brushing his. When the sun explodes and we've got 8 minutes and 20 seconds left on planet Earth. I grabbed a hold of his wrist, forcing my hair from his finger. On second thought, I said, squeezing as hard as I could before I dropped it and stepped away from him. I could think of many more pleasurable things to do with my last 8.5 minutes on Earth. Kip did not look perturbed in the slightest. You're lost, darling, he murmured, shrugging. But in 8 minutes and 20 seconds, I'd be able to rock your whole fucking world. He winked and walked away. Asshole, I muttered, though my thighs had inexplicably pressed together. 2 months before the wedding. Booze was to blame, as it often was for bad decisions. I was drowning my sorrows in the local bar, not something I was known to do. Nora and I enjoyed good wine at her place most of the time, and if we did go out, it was to restaurants without sticky floors and 21-year-olds crying in the bathroom. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the pregnancy scare. Now my bestie was shacked up with her grumpy veteran who absolutely adored her, and I was profoundly happy for her. Normally, if I needed to drown my sorrows, I'd go to Nora's house. She'd feed me, give me fancy wine and equally fancy glasses, and, if I imbibed too much, I'd stay in her guest room. Though Nora and Rowan were accommodating to me being a third wheel, apart from their laughable attempts to get Kip and me together, there was only so much of that I could do. Beyond that, Nora had been through enough lately. She didn't deserve any more drama. Sure, I could be somewhat of a drama queen, but I'd done well at leaving all the actual drama on another continent. So, Nora's house was out. But considering the letter I'd gotten today, I needed something. I could not sit in my little seaside cottage in my favorite place in the world, contemplating the time I had left, contemplating what was waiting for me on the other side. Yeah, the noisy bar and the shitty drink were definitely needed.
Haven't seen you in here before.
I glanced to my right, to the man who had settled onto the bar stool next to me. My immediate reaction was to scowl at him. Even if I had come in here before, I'm not in my early 20s, full of lip fillers and naivete. Therefore, I'm not on your radar, I said sweetly. Pip chuckled at the jab, as he tended to do whenever we spoke. It was irritating, the way he treated my disinterest as cute, as if it wasn't something that should be used as a warning. He was not cute. He was tanned, blonde-haired, square-jawed, and muscled with blue eyes and the all-American macho vibe. So not my scene. He was used to being every girl's scene, which was why he'd never left me alone. If I just let him fuck me the first time he tried to get into my pants, he'd likely find someone else to try to fuck. But no way. I wasn't easy. And I wasn't another notch in some overgrown playboy's bedpost.
Touché, he replied, sipping his beer. But alas, there are no beautiful young women at the bar tonight. So I spotted you.
He winked. Charming, I replied, finishing my margarita and gesturing for another. It was a quiet night at Jupiter's one and only bar that served cheap drinks, had a live band, and was a surefire place to find a quick fuck, if you were into that kind of thing. Kip most certainly was.
What's got you sitting here on a Tuesday night drinking alone?
He asked, obviously settling in for a while, unfortunately. Something that makes it so I'm not in the mood for company, I said, not looking at him.
If you weren't in the mood for company, you'd be making your own margaritas at home, he observed. And if you were in the mood for good company, then you'd be at Nora's place, drinking fancy wine and eating cheese boards or whatever the fuck.
Ew, he was far too observant.
But you're here, he continued, holding out his hands, drinking cheap cocktails and snacking on peanuts.
He stared at the large pile of shells I'd accumulated from stress eating. Are you a construction worker or a detective? I snapped at him. He tilted his head, regarding me with dancing eyes.
I'm a curious dude.
I took a long sip of my fresh drink. Feeling drunk, but unfortunately, worse.
You're not going to go away until I tell you, are you? I sighed.
Nope, he said, smiling and holding his bottle up to the bartender, signaling another.
Like I said, it's a dry night.
Fuck. Tequila loosened my tongue. Worse, I couldn't keep this bottled up. This panic. This fear. It had to go somewhere, and unfortunately, Kip was closest at my moment of weakness. I'm getting kicked out of the country, I sang before taking another large sip, staring at the array of bottles behind the bar.
What do you mean?
Kip asked, his tone no longer teasing. I didn't dare look at him.
I mean, I've been pretty creative these past few years with student visas, with all sorts of loopholes. But there's only so long an Australian without a bunch of money or resources can dodge Uncle Sam.
My stomach flipped, likely as a result of the volume of tequila in my body and the peanuts trying to soak it up. And because I was shit scared.
And since I haven't fallen in love with a Yank, or at the very least, bewitched him with my pussy in order for him to marry me and give me a green card, I'm out of here in a little over 90 days.
I finished. My heart wouldn't stop pounding, drowning out the thumping bass of the sound system. My mouth was dry from the salt around the rim of my margarita. It was then that I looked at Kip. He was no longer regarding me with his familiar, teasing, probing gaze. He looked much more serious than I'd seen him, ever. This expression was almost handsome, if that were an appropriate thought to have at this juncture, which it wasn't.
3 months, then you're out?
He asked, voice rumbly and deep. I nodded once.
Yep. Again, unless I trick a man into falling in love with me, or at the very least, thinking I'm worth committing fraud for.
I scoffed, shaking my head. It was a joke, of course. Not because of the whole fraud thing. That didn't bother me overly much. No, it was more the marriage thing. I'd made a vow to never commit to holy matrimony with someone ever again. The mere thought of it made my blood run cold. Marriage was my only option to stay in the country at this point, and that wasn't even an option.
I'll do it, Kip said. I'll marry you.
I jumped at his voice, having forgotten he was still sitting beside me. I blinked rapidly, focusing on him, trying to find his smirk. There was none.
You're fucking with me. I rolled my eyes. Good one.
Kip and I had traded jabs since pretty much the first time we'd met. This was as far as our relationship went. We didn't like each other. Me, because he was a womanizing asshole with no depth. Him, because I didn't want to fuck him. It made sense that he'd capitalize on my shitty situation. The prick.
I'm not fucking with you,
he replied, still sounding serious.
I'll do it. I'll marry you so you can get your green card.
I squinted at him. I must have been drunker than I thought. Fuck off, I muttered, turning my attention to my drink. There was pressure at my chin. It came from Kip's fingers grasping it, turning it so I was once more looking at him. His face was closer to mine than I remembered. His eyes glinted with an intensity I didn't recognize. Inexplicably, my pussy seemed to appreciate it. Damn it! I'd gone so long without sex that I was getting turned on by cocky assholes.
I'm not fucking with you, he said quietly. You're important to Nora. Rowan is important to me. Whatever hurts her, hurts him. And when he's hurt, he's like a bear with a splinter. I don't want to have to be around that grumpy bastard day in and day out.
I stared at him. You're saying you'll marry me because you don't want to deal with Rowan being in a bad mood? I clarified.
Partly, he agreed. Also, I haven't been in a position to help someone out in a while. Definitely not a woman with fear painted all over her at the prospect of returning home.
His jaw clenched.
Know a thing or two about that.
He let me go, thankfully, because then I could breathe again. His easy smile returned, and he tagged his beer from the bar, standing.
That's my offer, sweetheart. Take it or leave it.
He winked.
You know where to find me.
Then the asshole sauntered off.
Over my dead body,
I called to him as he walked away. I found myself at Kip's house 2 days later. 2 fucking days. That's how long my resolve lasted. That's how long I spent exhausting every other possible option. There were no other options, except go home. Which wasn't an option. I was left with 2 choices, both of them things I'd promised myself I'd never do. I picked the lesser evil, or so I thought. Kip grinned when he answered the door. Grinned. Like he'd been fucking expecting me? That made the whole thing worse. I almost turned on my heel and left right then. Almost.
Hey, baby,
he drawled, beer bottle dangling from his left hand.
Ugh, I groaned, pushing past him, snatching the beer as I went.
Don't call me baby. His laugh followed me down the hall. His house was small, had a nice exterior, but inside it looked exactly what it was, a bachelor pad. It smelled of bacon and beer. The kitchen had a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink. The living room, to the left, boasted two leather couches, a stained wood coffee table, and a TV that was laughably large compared to the entertainment unit it was precariously perched on.
Not a good way to start the marriage,
Kip teased as he walked through the kitchen, opening the fridge to retrieve himself another beer.
This is not a marriage, I spat, hating that I was here, second-guessing myself even now.
I took a long pull of the beer and put my palm to my forehead.
Oh my God, what am I doing?
I cried, circling the room.
I mean, if I'm going to get married for a green card, it needs to be someone else. Anyone else.
Kip leaned against the kitchen island, smirking at me.
I don't see anyone else lining up to be your husband, sweetheart.
I scowled at him. There are plenty of men who would marry me like that. I snapped my fingers together. Kip raised a brow as if he were inviting me to list them. I racked my brain. In no way had I been a nun since I moved to Jupiter. I enjoyed sex. There was a good number of single men in this town and surrounding areas for me to engage in sex with. Plus, in the summer, the population almost tripled with tourists and people who owned vacation homes. I was never short of suitors. Suitors who were more than willing to fuck me, marry me? No, I couldn't even recall the last man I let stay over. Frank, I blurted. Frank would marry me in, like, a moment. Kip looked at me with a placid expression. Frank is 80 years old. I pursed my lips. He looks like a young 70, I countered. He really did. Frank was my landlord, and he was former army, a gruff widower who read mystery books and ate muffins in the window of the cafe every morning at 9. And he was a shameless flirt, plus a born protector.
By all means, go marry Frank then,
Kip invited with twinkling eyes. Fuck. He was enjoying this, my lack of options, watching me squirm. What a fucking asshole. Did I really want to be married to this guy, even in a fake marriage? Are you recording me or something? I asked, suddenly suspicious. Are you trying to get me arrested? Because this was your idea, and that would be entrapment. I had no fucking idea whether it would be entrapment or not. I didn't pay attention to the American legal system beyond watching SVU. But it sounded right. Kip chuckled.
That would be a lot of work. Plus, I'm not a narc.
I rolled my eyes. Getting married to me and breaking federal laws while doing it, that's not a lot of work? I asked, taking another, longer pull of the beer. It wasn't really hitting the spot. I needed tequila. He shrugged.
Like you said, it's not going to be a marriage. Basically, a contract.
I contemplated this. A contract. If this is a contract, what do you want out of it? I don't have money. I had enough to buy expensive home decor, good wine and cheese, and pay the rent on my cottage, in addition to my drunk online shopping escapades, which were, unfortunately, numerous. Kip screwed up his nose.
No, baby, I don't want your money.
He sounded offended at the insinuation, like he was some honorable prince doing this out of the goodness of his heart. Except I knew that...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?